Let's do this. Let's run to the newsmaker line. A different day, different time than what we're used to, but with the holiday this week, everybody is scrambling and moving around. We go to the 3rd District Congressman, Congressman Jim Banks. And, sir, how are you today?
Hey, Pat. Good to be with you. Happy Thanksgiving to you and all your listeners.
You know, I got to thinking, maybe this is just me and maybe I'm just thinking too deep. I think Thanksgiving is probably a little easier for me than it is for you because with you spending so much time in Washington, D.C., without a proper program, how do you distinguish from one turkey to another? I mean, how do you... Sorry.
Fair point.
You know what I'm saying. So, you'll be here in the state for Thanksgiving, or what are you doing?
I can't wait. I'm loading up the car here in a little bit, and got the girls and the dog ready to make the drive back from Washington to Columbia City, and nothing I like more than a good road trip.
Yep. There, well, and you certainly get your fair share of those. Let's talk about what's coming up legislatively. You have a new bill where you would like to actually have a legislation that would force policy experts who testify before Congress to disclose any funding, gifting, close relationship they might have with foreign governments that might affect how they do or how they say what they do. And this, you're looking here for relationships with China and Russia and Iran and North Korea and Venezuela or Cuba. I'm assuming that many people in or near the Republican study group are quite in favor of this, and I would assume that many people on the Nancy Pelosi side of the aisle are vehemently opposed.
Well, we'll find out. It's common sense if you think about it. I mean, I can't believe that we don't already require this type of disclosure, but it turns out, Pat, that $174 million is how much foreign governments have donated to Washington, D.C. think tanks just over the last 4 years. So that's about $45 million a year. I serve on the Armed Services Committee. We often have committee hearings about the status of China's military, for example. Well, if we had a think tank expert come and testify before our committee who happened to work for a think tank that was taking millions of dollars from China, you would think that that would be something that they ought to disclose before they testify. I actually got this idea from former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo because he instituted a very similar rule at the State Department. Anyone who came and testified or spoke at the State Department had to disclose foreign funding sources. So this was an idea I picked up from that. We ought to apply it as well to our congressional committees. I introduced it today. With these Democrats in charge and the amount of support that they provide to some of our foreign adversaries in a lot of other ways, or at least turning a blind eye to their interests, I'm not going to hold my breath. But when we get the majority back next year, I imagine that this is something that we might be able to pass.
Yeah, this is asking them not to just list the governments or the governmental entities or large corporations in a foreign country that they have dealt with, but also dealt with them for how much money. I mean, I think that needs to be disclosed as well.
We also know that a number of universities receive funding, whether it's for Confucius Institutes or grant funding from Chinese Communist Party sources. I mean, that's happening all around us. They call it China calls it the United Front. I mean, it's really everywhere we go, college campuses, Washington, D.C., state governments. They have these entities that are using a lot of money to buy off by goodwill. And the last place we should allow them to do that is on Capitol Hill when people testify before a congressional committee. So it's a matter of transparency. I introduced it today, as I said. I'm going to keep pushing for it. And hopefully by the time we get the gavel and become the majority, just a little bit less than a year from now, Pat, these are the type of common sense ideas that we might be able to push.
You know, that almost sounds pie in the sky when we say it. But when we talk about getting the majority back a year from now, I think that's a stark reality.
Yeah, I do too. And we have to be ready, Pat. It's one thing to win the majority. The fact of the matter is the generic polling that we're seeing around the country right now is the best that it has ever been for Republicans. So we all believe we're going to have a good election day next November. I think the Democrats are pretty sure of it, too. That's why they're pushing so hard to pass their agenda now. But we have to be ready. When we get the majority back, we have to be ready. We have to have a game plan. We have to have policies and ideas like this one ready to go to introduce on day one and push and pass and force Joe Biden, who will still be president for another 2 years when we get the majority back, force him to either sign or veto these good ideas and expose to the American people just how slanted, on one side or the other. If he vetoes a common sense idea like this, so that tells you everything that you need to know, but force him to do it. Send it to his desk and force him to sign or veto it.
November 2022, if in fact we gain about 10 seats in the Senate, if in fact we gain about 25 or 30 seats in the House, all of which I think is plausible, on that election night when you and I are talking with each other here on our Newsmaker line, you and I will be a bit giddy, and I will expect you and your friends to celebrate a little bit, but no longer than 47 minutes, because then you guys got to get back, get your heads together, and see exactly when January hits of 2023, what does that look like? We can't go into it with a lax attitude the way we did the last time we had the majority.
I completely agree. I mean, the mistakes that were made my first 2 years in Congress when we had President Trump, we had Republican leadership in the House and the Senate, and we still couldn't pass health care, repeal and replace of Obamacare. We still couldn't pass legislation to hold China accountable, legislation to balance the budget. I could go on and on. I mean, we have to be ready for that when we win the majority this time. And I think we will be. I mean, Republican Study Committee, the largest conservative caucus on the Hill, the group that I'm the chairman of, we spent a lot of time talking about that. We're focused on winning back the majority, but we're also talking about our agenda for when we get to that point. I feel like there's a lot of energy behind that, and we learned a lot of tough lessons before. When the tables are turned, we have to be ready to go.
Yeah, exactly right. Before I let you out of here, how soon are you looking to get in the car and head back? About an hour and a half?
Well, I mean, it's getting dark, so I might be packing tonight and loading the girls up first thing in the morning and headed that way.
Yeah, because you have to bring the girls too, okay? I mean, we'd love to have you back in the state, but if you're not bringing the girls, just don't even bother. Some people have responded, I think disgustingly so, to what happened with the Kyle verdict, and I thought the president was abhorrent in his response. I thought the vice president was abhorrent. I think that the mayor of New York, Mayor de Blasio, I think actually perhaps caused some of the rioting that he had in his city. And I'll tell you, I don't know how much you saw of it, but I watched the Tucker Carlson interview with Kyle Rittenhouse, and I will tell you, some of the terminology he used, and some of it was quite highbrow legalese that he was using, which tells me he's been in conversations with people. You know, there's some people on the left that might want to watch out. They might want to get their checkbooks out because they may be ready to write a whole lot of stuff to Kyle Rittenhouse.
Pat, I hope Kyle Rittenhouse takes some of these fools for as much as he can get. I mean, I watched the Tucker Carlson interview as well, and if your listeners haven't watched it, stop what you're doing, at least when Pat goes off the air, and go and Google it, find it, watch it. I was deeply disturbed, Pat, because there were so many things that I heard that I thought were true that when I listened to Tucker interview Kyle Rittenhouse, I realized how much I'd been led astray by the media,
yeah,
by the mainstream media, who told me that he took a gun across state lines.
Yep.
That wasn't true.
Right.
The weapon was already in Kenosha. I was told that he didn't have any business being there. I learned last night that his dad actually lived there, and he worked there and spent a lot of time there. I mean, all these things that I was told by the media and even by Joe Biden. You know, they called him a white supremacist. The guy doesn't have a racist bone in his body. If you listen to
he's a BLM supporter.
It was very disturbing to me because of how much I was told and believed and how much of it was wrong. And, you know, Facebook officially designated Kyle Rittenhouse as a mass murderer, and they banned any post that would support Kyle Rittenhouse. I mean, Facebook did that. They stopped all the fundraising at like GoFundMe sites and online for this kid, at PayPal and GoFundMe. They banned all of that. And it just goes to show that, you know, big tech, they were wrong about Kyle Rittenhouse. They were wrong about Hunter Biden. They told us we couldn't talk about the origins of COVID. They banned me for calling Rachel Levine a biological man, even though he played high school football with General Milley when he was in high school. So every time Facebook bans or censors or takes down posts, we should be very skeptical, because it's probably very likely that whatever they're banning on Facebook will end up actually being true.
Yep.
In this case, with Kyle Rittenhouse, everything that they told us ends up being wrong, and that's why I think this interview with Tucker is so important for everybody to watch, just to be awakened to the fact of how much we are misled by big tech, by the big corporate mainstream left wing media that we're receiving our news from. I think this is a powerful example of that.
I think you're right. A lot of them too are all trying to take the angle now, instead of going directly after Rittenhouse, they're trying to go after Tucker. And they're trying to bury him. Well, he's obviously, because he's just this right-wing ideologue, call him what you want. Tucker, much like Rittenhouse, is cool, calm, collected. They've tried to put him off the air 6 months ago. They're trying now. Not going to happen. And they all better be very, very careful, because last night, this is amazing to me, but Tucker Carlson's interview last night topped CNN and MSNBC combined. They drew 5 million viewers to the Rittenhouse interview. That's amazing.
Incredible. Incredible. People are watching. They're paying attention. They're looking for the truth. And in this case, they're realizing that the truth isn't coming out of Joe Biden's mouth. It's not coming from Facebook or big tech. It's not coming from CNN. Last night they got the truth on Tucker Carlson's show, and they interviewed this kid, and you heard a completely different story last night when you heard it from the kid's own mouth.
Yep.
But what happened that day is just the opposite of everything that we heard in the narrative that was painted about this kid everywhere else.
What's the joke? How do you know they're lying? Because their lips are moving. That's what's happening to the left, I think. Well, listen, Congressman, thanks so much. Keep hammering on that legislation that you're putting forward. As you said when you were asked about this legislation, that government is more open when all the cards are played face up, when everybody can see exactly what it is that's going on. The Truth in Testimony Reform Resolution, this is the legislation overseen by Congressman Banks. This needs to happen, and I'm with you. Get it out there and just hammer, hammer, hammer. Pelosi's not going to go for it. Schumer's not going to go for it. That's okay. The American people will see what they turn down, and then a year from now, when it comes in again, it'll go right through. Congressman Banks, safe travels for you. You guys get home safe. Enjoy your holiday with Amanda and the girls. We look to talk to you again next week.
Thank you. Happy Thanksgiving.
Podcasts by Federated Media.